This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome to iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
Have you ever had body sounds?
At the most inappropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we all have, probably.
Uh-huh.
You want to share your little story there, Dan?
Let's hear it.
Before we get into some...
I'd rather hear your version of it, because you were the recipient of the noise. Yeah, but you got to set the scene.
I wasn't the only recipient of the scene.
Dan was just the maker.
Yeah. So we have a meeting with...
We had an interview.
Yeah, an interview.
Yeah.
And
rather important interview.
Yes, yeah. And
I'm like,
Dan's just dying. I mean, I don't know what you had for lunch, but
I had two ham sandwiches.
Well, there you go. It must have been kind of warm mayonnaise.
It was real mayonnaise, and it probably wasn't terribly cold. Is there...
So everything's going extremely well.
What else is in your crystal ball?
Yeah, everything else is going extremely well.
Uh-huh.
And I hear Dan's stomach come alive. I'll try to replicate.
It wouldn't stop.
Bow.
I tried gyrating in 15 positions to get it to stop.
At one point, he said, "Excuse me." I mean,
it was so loud.
It was like a belch.
Oh my word! That's so funny.
It was terribly guttural.
It was very guttural.
And I was praying Roy would start talking louder. I'm serious. I'm like, don't go off while Roy's thinking about his next thought.
I can just see that.
It was a little distracting.
I can just see that meeting right now.
Yeah. So no more eating before meetings.
I went, no more 2 o'clock meetings. Yeah. I gotta have lunch.
You don't have to eat something that's gonna ferment.
I had
inside.
A ham sandwich
with mayo.
If you will send home the menu items that I'm allowed to have prior to a large interview, I would be happy to oblige and submit my receipt.
He's gonna lie.
You know, and it was getting some great tenacity.
Oh,
I mean, just like.
It's almost like whales.
It's kind of like, yeah, mixed between an aquatic mammal and my cats when they're hungry outside our screen door. It was inopportune, to say the least. I felt bad for you, Dan.
I avoided eye contact.
that works.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll hope no more funny sounds come out anytime soon at inopportune times.
Ready or not, it's time for this week's Hot Topic.
So for the hot topic for today, it's summertime.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's moving us towards our top medical news story, which is going to have something to do with vehicles that are fun but might not be safe. So vehicles that are fun, vehicles that are sporty, vehicles that are fuel efficient. I mean, everybody knows about... You know, how small vehicles are getting. Mm-hmm. Jody, you moved to a motorcycle.
Right. Not because it's small.
No, but for fuel efficiency.
Yeah.
Weighed against the risk of
death or
safety.
Dismemberment.
The jury's out on that.
Well, I don't know that you can drive a motorcycle and not have that stance.
They're going to die?
No.
No.
No. Oh. What you just said.
Oh, yeah.
We just said, you bought a motorcycle, even though you know, statistically, when you get in an accident, you fare less well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Than in a car, and you said, jury's out on that. I mean, I would have expected a motorcyclist to say that.
Yeah. Because.
Right? Absolutely.
Otherwise, why are you doing it? I mean, that's silly.
Well, you've weighed the risk.
And you've decided it's worth it. And that's what we're going to talk about. Anyways, but the first things first, though, is that we have some statutes that are up for vote, some laws that are up for vote in regards to the booster seats.
Yeah.
Now, I don't. I haven't been keeping a tab on the other states in all 50, but in Michigan, anyways, we've got some pretty strict laws that have been enacted in regards to children under four foot nine,
or, younger than eight,
or younger,
younger than eight. I guess, you know, height is an issue because of the situation of the airbag in the front seat. And where the seat belt on the shoulder strap comes across your shoulder.
Has nothing to do with weight.
Doesn't have anything to do with weight.
Has everything to do with
size, length.
Size.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with age.
Has nothing to
so
do with
So what
age.
If you've got a 4 foot 10?
I know a young man who's 13 years old below 4 foot nine.
Mm-hmm. So what's he doing? Sitting in a booster seat?
Nope.
No.
Because the law is under eight and.
But he does not sit up front.
Right.
Well, in the cars.
Yeah.
So, Jody, are you saying that if they're not under eight and they're younger than or smaller than 4 foot nine, that they don't have to be in a booster?
That's when they do. In other words, if they're over 8 years old, no booster is required.
See,
age is the cutoff.
And that's kind of what I'm talking about.
That's the stupidity of it.
I mean, issue this based on scientific studies because anybody under 4 foot nine.
Exactly.
Is in danger of severe injury or death because of a height
factor. Or less than 18, they're not their own guardian.
Well, I think that's the whole point here that they're getting at.
What I'm suggesting is if you're an adult, you make your own decision with regard to that. But then again,
yeah, they're just saying over eight, though.
Every adult's required to wear seatbelts, too.
Right.
So,
but now we're talking about you got 10 years after age eight before they're an adult.
It's just right. A silly law. It's an absolutely silly well, law. Doesn't fix anything.
We're going to talk about the silliness and the not silliness of it, right?
Yeah.
Silliness is that here they are contradicting themselves because it shouldn't really matter how old you are unless you're 18 or older and can make a decision on your own.
Right.
Dan, you just mentioned that doesn't really matter anymore because over 18.
I'm required to wear a
seatbelt.
We're
required by law, or we get a ticket.
Absolutely.
You know, they might say, well, you're free not to wear a seatbelt.
Yeah.
But you'll get a ticket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's a whole other story. But here, we're talking about somebody being either 8 years old or older.
Are they doing it for the protection of the child?
Yeah.
And that's the question. And it really smacks of, and I don't mind my state looking into this, but it really smacks of a lobbying industry winning out.
That's what it smells like, yeah.
And I'm not typically that cynical. I leave that up to Roy and Jody. But it really smacks of not really being thought through.
Well, Jody, you and I were talking about the expedition.
Mm-hmm.
Our third row in the expedition does not have headrests.
Right.
Okay. I mean, it does. It has these little dips in it, right?
Yeah.
But once our children
exceed the height of that,
yeah, you have a C-spine risk, right? Because of no headrest protecting the whipping of the head back in a rear-end accident or even a front-end, okay? When we put our children that qualified for this law in their car seats...
Yeah,
guess what it did?
It elevated them not just past the C-spine, but mid-thoracic.
Yeah,
even worse. Absolutely, and it really smacks like... If you've ever ridden in a speedboat... And you're sitting on top of the chair so you can see
over
the windshield.
I do not.
Exactly.
All the
you
time.
Are far less secure
right.
than sitting into the naturally designed or custom designed seats that were meant to hold you into place more than you propping yourself. So you put these booster seats in crash tested bench seats or bucket seats.
Yeah.
They're designed for the body to go into it, and now you've taken the child out
of
that.
Elevated them above
it. You've elevated them above that. It just seems like...
Something's broke.
Something's broke there. It seems like that my child might... And that's just pure intuition on my part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just thinking it through, it looks like my child's at more risk than the other one sitting beside them.
It is. In fact, I have to admit, I didn't see the sense in it.
No.
Because of the thoracic and the cervical... prospective injuries that would have occurred from a low impact or a moderate impact rear-ending, which happens all the time. I just talked to a friend who just got it rear-ended. Mm-hmm. I don't want them splitting backwards, which could literally happen. We're not designed
or being projectiles.
Well, the back of their head could have hit the back end of the seat. I mean, quite frankly, and that's not a pretty picture, but I'm just saying.
And it's also not the most cushioned part of the seat.
No, it's not. So you know, I think that laws can go bad.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
You know, and I don't want people to misconstrue our conversation here, because I've spoken to gentlemen who said in a head-on collision, they don't require their kids to wear seatbelts because they can stop them with their arm.
Yeah.
So that's the other end of the linear scale.
Yes, right.
We are all about the safety of our children.
Yeah.
But intuitively, this mm-hmm. seems like it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like I'm having to, and it's not the $15 or $35 on a booster seat
right.
that I'm
no,
rugged,
they're cheap.
Rugged about.
They're cheap.
It's more the question of, is that child, out of all the children buckled right. into my van,
mm-hmm.
are they more at risk now because of a state law that just didn't seem like it was?
Yeah.
I mean, Jody, you've got an opinion on this.
Oh, huge. I mean, my biggest problem with this is I wholeheartedly, 100% believe it was the car seat manufacturers who got this law through because they wanted more income. I wholeheartedly believe that.
Yeah, there was a spike in sales when this baby went through.
Huge. I mean, my goodness, the amount of car
Walmart
seats everywhere.
Full.
Yeah. And you know what, though? This law is not doing one thing to help anyone.
No.
I think we're going to actually see more injuries resulting from this law in children in car accidents. I really do. I believe that.
So I guess we could all agree to say that we don't mind when certain things are done, but they got to have a common sense factor.
Yeah.
And we're not sure that this would have had a whole lot of common sense.
Yeah.
You know?
So are you actively breaking the law?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
But it's caused us to have to move kids around. So the younger ones, in fact, we don't take the Expedition very much anymore.
Hmm.
Right? We're all taking the van. Because
it sounds like the kids that were in back prior to this law that were too tall for those seats were moved forward.
Yeah.
And now you're having to shift them back.
Well, now we got to shift the big kids back there, and they're not safer back there because without a booster seat, they're at mid-thoracic.
But that way, you're not illegal. The other way, you'd be illegal.
Thank you. We're not illegal, but we're just as at risk.
Precisely.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did this help your family, which is what...
Yeah, and so many other families out there that are doing the same exact
thing.
That's
right. I'm calling your senator.
Yeah. Well, and how can they get away, how can the car places get away with saying, we put another row of seats in there to call it a station wagon for insurance purposes?
Correct.
And it's not functioning as a real safe seat.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. It's not adequate. The Audi TT has got bucket seats in the back.
Right.
They are absolutely non-functional.
Correct.
For our family.
Yeah. You would have to be a person without legs.
Either, and you can look on the internet and you'll see a lot of other people mention the same thing. It's a four-seater, and I love Audi TTs. I think they're just the coolest car.
They're the bomb.
But I needed it to have four seats, right?
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Huh.
Because
they're not four functional seats.
No, you could set bags of groceries back there.
Precisely.
But hypothetically, if you were really, really short yourself and a driver, you could move your seat way up and there might be some knee space. But it says, I believe this is accurate, on a little sticker on the door, passengers over 4'9" should not sit in the back seats. Interesting, huh? Because the hood of the top of the car,
the roll bar
slopes.
Yeah,
this one doesn't have a roll bar, but it slopes. The coupe slopes at a level where, when I sat back there, I could sit back there with the seat forward, but I had to lean, and my right shoulder almost touched the roof.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying here is not to pick on Audi TT at all. It's designed.
But don't plan on putting four people in it.
But you can't call it really a four seater. Yeah, I mean, you can call it a four seater, but you can't call it a four seater.
And I'm sad because I wanted to buy one. New families with infants are not exactly driving these things.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know, the only thing I had to say about that, though,
here it comes,
is if I want to have a certain type of vehicle, like I desire to have.
Yeah.
I don't care about the safety factor of it. It's the vehicle that I want to put myself in. And you know the interesting thing? If they tell me that Suburbans, I can no longer have my third seat in my Suburban because it's unsafe.
Right.
I'm going to raise a stink about that because that's my family vehicle. That's my vehicle that I have.
Yeah.
And so I get frustrated. I don't want to see more laws come by where they mandate that you can't sit in this vehicle because you know what's going to happen, though?
Right.
I'm a big guy. And you were talking about headrest and all that. I have
mean
yet
nothing to you.
I have yet to sit in a vehicle that my head, if I get rear-ended, is going to touch the headrest.
Well, you were in an accident like that. I think you
I was rear-ended in a vehicle, and I actually, the seat like went flat back to the back seat. That's how far.
So you,
I went
you
back.
Were in the front.
I was in the front.
You were rear-ended.
Yes, and it was my brother-in-law's car, and I said to my brother-in-law, "Wow, the latch on the seat must have broke." He said, "These aren't reclining seats."
Because you were laying supine by the time this
flat.
Was done.
Flat.
That had to be really good for your back, though.
Yeah. So it snapped the
better
chair
than
and
collapsing goes. Forward into the V position.
That's true. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I don't fit in a seat. So what are they going to say? I'm sorry, everybody that doesn't fit in the seat, it cannot
drive a vehicle.
If you're
over 6 foot six and 300 pounds.
Yeah. You can't drive anymore.
We've
sorry.
Got a booster seat for
I mean,
you, baby.
You know, get out. You know, get out. I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah. Overregulation is a bummer.
Well, and I think it's what makes us cynical.
Yeah.
Of our governments that seem to have been boughten.
Yeah.
And it could not occur that often. I tend to think that they try to do things for the good. I think I've expressed this.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a blip on the radar that just seems... Now it's really impacting me because now I feel like my children are more at risk collectively as a family in our vehicle
prior
to the law.
Right.
Potentially. And the first officer that pulls me over will have this discussion.
And the officer will say, I can't do anything about it. I just write the tickets.
I issue your ticket.
I feel for you, but here's your ticket.
Feel this.
All right. Yeah, interesting stuff. We'd like to hear back from you as well out there and find out what you think about overregulating things that maybe don't always make a lot of sense.
iRescue Radio's top medical news.
Top medical news today. We thought it'd be probably fun to talk about how risky are we willing to be to get the vehicle of your dreams, whether that be for high mileage efficiency, fun, sportiness, you name it.
Yeah.
I Jody, you made mention about this. I don't think safety really, and you're an EMT.
Yeah.
You don't buy a vehicle, it doesn't sound like, because of its safety rating, you buy it because you want the vehicle.
Well, yeah, I usually buy it because it's something I can afford.
Well, right, that too.
Right.
But you know, in reality, I could care less about the safety of the vehicle because, you know, I'll tell you why. I've seen vehicles that are supposed to be the most safest vehicle in the world, and people don't come out of them very well.
You're crushing
me.
Yeah.
And so I just, you know, I realize safety features are there to protect people. And yes, I have seen vehicles that their safety features work, people are protected, but I've also seen vehicles are supposed to be safe, people didn't do so well.
But was that not the exception to the rule?
Exactly. I think I'm going to take the other side of that view.
Sure.
I can't believe how much I am looking at safety ratings. Side curtain airbags, side beams reinforcements in the doors for T-bone accidents, drop away engines so that you have more crush zone in the front, good harness systems, front airbags, weight sensory passenger side vehicles. It just goes on and on and on. I mean, I'm just looking at more and more. And I tell you the truth, I get a little giddy about thinking that I'm inside of a big pillow from all angles if I get in an accident. And I'm even more giddy if I think my wife and my children are going to be in that pillow.
Yep.
But bring on the fun, too. And that's why I've been looking at those fun little sporty cars that are getting great safety ratings.
And the manufacturers know that people are doing more research about their purchase.
Right.
If they're able to afford it, they're going to do some research.
And let's face it, if you're going to start decreasing the weight, reinforcing steel frame, and the size of the vehicle that is called crush zone, we're going to have to make up for that with energy-absorbing cushions.
Yeah.
Airbags.
Yeah. Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So it's interesting to see how they're doing that. So maybe the end all of this is that we can have our cake and eat it too.
That'd be nice.
Right? I mean, I've thought about that for motorcycles, and in fact, I think I've seen them.
Airbags for motorcycles?
Have I not seen an airbag for a motorcycle? Maybe I have not.
I'm not aware of that, but I'm not a big motorcycle aficionado either.
I don't know. I just ride one.
Yeah.
I just ride my hog.
I'm sure
I pretend to be one in real life.
You know, and they could even just be novelty, right? Mm-hmm. Now I'll drive a trike with a airbag, you know, in a seatbelt.
I there is no question that given the gas prices 1 year ago, it significant. I'd love to have been a motorcycle salesman.
Oh yeah,
Well, that's the reason I got mine.
They're spiking. People are saying, I'm hemorrhaging cash trying to keep my car on the road. Yep. I can't afford it. I got to believe, had we taken this poll a year ago, it would look different than it's going to look today.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately,
we didn't.
We didn't. And the reality is, let's face it, like it or not, we don't fare as well in an accident when you're ejected from any vehicle.
Correct.
Okay. And, you know, I'm looking at an article right here from a fatal motorcycle accident that was 4 days ago, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another fatal accident that was on West River Drive where a motorcycle, you know, we always fear that the motorcycle is the one that's going to get hit by somebody because they're not visible. Well, this was a 2001 Harley with side bags and big, you know, wind jammer in the front. It was huge. It looked huge when it was laying on its side, crushed in the middle of the road. So you know it was a big bike. Unfortunately, this gentleman, we're not sure what happened. He was distracted. I don't know what the case was, but on Labor Day, he ran into the back of a Blazer and was killed. So it does bother me. As I, you know, I've test driven a smart car. I'm a little concerned. Well, not only because it doesn't have four seats, and I need at least four seats, no matter how sporty the car is for practicality, but I was a little concerned about where's my legs? You know, I mean, there wasn't much of anything around.
No. It did some fun things.
Oh, it was very cool.
Its ability to turn.
Oh, the whole car is cool. I joked around about Pro CPR having a fleet of smart cars. You know, with us being a green company, a fleet of smart cars with us being an e-learning company would just be too awesome. You know, I mean, high fuel economy.
Yeah.
The stuff is made out of biodegradable plastics. It's got safflower, I think.
You can change the color of the car.
You can change the color of the car.
There are swaps.
Could you imagine?
What do you mean?
We could have all the colors that they produce here with our fleet of people that work here, right?
The panels removed.
You remove the panels and you can switch and flip-flop.
Just flip-flop panels.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Change the color of your car.
Jeez, I don't
they actually
white.
Have
swaps.
Swaps.
In
Groups
California.
Get together, yeah.
Really?
In California.
Oh, my
just
word.
Do swaps with each other.
Yeah.
So
it's very cool. It's very cool. And I think we're on the cusp of things to come. Now it's the point of saying, I want the fun and I want the safety. Mm-hmm. And I think we have technology that's allowing
it's
both.
It's coming. The gap is narrowing.
It is.
And it's worth the research. If you are in the market for a vehicle and you're able to buy new or even recently used, if you identify a particular vehicle, you can look across manufacturers because they're all having competing vehicles. So it's not like, now there isn't an identical Kia version of the Audi TT. So you get into those instances where it's different. But if you're looking at a Honda Accord, you can see the Camry, you can see the Ford Taurus, blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
You
know,
so.
Right.
And some mid-sized cars are actually pretty sporty. Not as sporty as some of the smaller cars.
Right.
But they've
got
33 miles to the gallon. It's not bad on the highway.
I like my bike. It's 45.
I know. I like that. I like that about your bike. I fear the safety features because, quite frankly, God is very good to me. And I have had a lot of mercy shown to me
through
distractions. Uh-oh.
I didn't tell you guys about 2 weeks ago, did I?
No.
It's an interesting time to share with us.
Yeah, why don't you, Jode?
Well, I'm telling you, this is about the first close call that I've had that actually scared me.
Okay.
I was driving down Belding Road, and I was at Grattan and Belding Road.
Okay.
I was behind
that area.
Yeah. I was behind a big truck.
Yes.
Very visible.
Mm-hmm.
I could see there's
a except for that you were behind a big semi truck.
But I was far behind. I mean,
All right.
And there is a big truck waiting to turn right.
Yes.
And the truck in front of me was turning. I'm sorry. He was waiting to turn left.
Okay.
Onto Belding Road, and the big truck in front of me was turning right onto Grattan Road. So, big truck in front of me slows down, turns right, and I'm still going. The guy
pulled out
within 12 inches of being hit. 12 inches of being
you
hit.
You went in front of him?
I floored it and swerved way out to make it around him because he was right up on
top. Or you would have went right underneath the trailer.
No, No.
That trailer had moved. It was the guy pulling out on the building.
The guy pulling out on the building pulled right out into me. I mean, he
was that a semi truck that was pulling out though?
No, it was just a big truck. It was a big, huge, big. It was like a huge thing with the dualies and everything. And this guy just, I don't know, he just completely was totally distracted.
So you had to go into oncoming traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God there was no oncoming traffic, because that's a very busy, busy road.
This guy just blatantly, I mean, there was nothing to it. I was right there.
He was only paying attention to the guy in front.
That was it. But he could obviously see me. It wasn't even that. I mean, I was right in front of him when he gunned it.
You know what, though? I don't think people give a rip.
That's
because
the
people in that Blazer that this gentleman died by hitting the back of, no one was injured in the Blazer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to say that's kind of the issue. And that brings me to this other point. There's been some complaints where people say, okay, I'd love to buy a little smart car. I'd love to buy a little, one of these little electric cars that are lightweight and stuff. I'd love to buy a little Mini Cooper, a little whatever. But I'm outclassed. There are these huge Hummers and Expeditions and Suburbans and Sprinter vans and, you know, big trucks and Fords and 250s and 350s out there. How do I kinetically make it out alive when it's a truck versus smart car or a semi versus smaller car? Yeah. And they're absolutely right. But here's my point. If more people, like the majority of people, were driving smaller cars, the percentage of risk of fatal injury from an impact versus impact, I think, would go down.
Right. It's right now, it's not a fair fight.
I have to say, I despise that philosophy, though.
You're freaking out because you're thinking, I got 8 kids to carry around. 7 kids.
Yeah.
And a wife.
Yeah.
And myself.
And I'm not going to drive a small car.
I'm not saying to outlaw it. I'm saying that if the percentages of commuters that are driving, who do you drive around every single day?
Right. I drive my motorbike.
One. Exactly. Right. So why not equal the odds? I'm not saying outlaw the Sprint. Look at my Sprinter van sitting around outside the studio. It's huge.
Yeah.
Right? People think we're SWAT when we pull up. And 6 kids and my wife and I pull up.
Or UPS.
And if you were a drug bust.
If you weren't wearing the black jackets and the sunglasses.
Well, it's the limousine tinted black windows. But my whole point is not to outlaw larger vehicles or make it not an option. I'm just saying for commuters, I don't need all my seats. I don't need to drive an Expedition every day. And it's why we're tempted to look at a third car. Because on a regular basis, it's just me.
Get a motorbike.
No, I already said. It's too dangerous. Not so much because of the weight factor, but because I'll be airborne. Right?
Well, too tempting. Tempting to fly.
Hence why I look for convertibles that have roll bars.
And I like life.
And I like life, too.
That's right.
And I like my children's life.
I like being here.
And when I'm not driving that car, my spouse and my children will be.
I like the fact that the worst that happens to me is my stomach gurgles.
Well, you know what's interesting? The decision to get my motorbike, that was weird because I, in all my life, I never imagined I would ever ride a motorbike because I always kind of had an opinion like, oh, those motorbike riders, those crazy people.
Is that how they say it in New York?
Maybe.
Isn't it motorcycle?
What? What did I say?
Motorbike?
Motorbike? Motorcycle? How do you say pigs?
Hogs?
No, I'm not going to say it.
Come on, Joe.
I'm not going to say hog.
How do you say wash?
Yeah, the guy I'm not going to say wash. He grew up in our area, and he moves abroad and comes back with all these
wash, hog,
interesting vernaculars.
How do you say, what does smoke come out of, Jody, out of the roof?
Comes out of a chimney?
Or a chimile?
Chim-chimile.
We digress.
I just thought it was cute.
What I was saying,
darling.
I never thought I'd ever be a motorbike
enthusiast,
whatever, rider. And
a hog.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm finding that I absolutely love it.
Hey, look, people that ride bikes enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cult following.
It really is. And people enjoy riding them. Yeah. That's what we're asking our listenership is, would you ride one?
Think of the hand signal phenomenon.
We talked about this once, and you guys didn't believe me. Have you noticed it? Have you watched
it? Yes, I knew about it. Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But you don't ever do that to me. Did you notice that that's what I did the other day when I was driving by?
Yeah, but you were in a...
I was in a Sprinter van.
But you're in a Sprinter van, so...
I saw Jody at the intersection, so I... So Jody's so, all,
so
hey!
I purposely waved up high.
Yeah, and I go like this.
he purposely waved low.
I swing my arm out low to the left like a motorcycle.
I'm turning left.
Yeah, everybody
I'm turning,
thought I was turning
right. Sprinter van. Yeah, you know how great is that? Yeah. You're taking your hands off the wheel to make a turn.
Yeah, that's why we have things called blinkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody believes blinkers.
Yeah. So, anyways, we'd like to know a little more about you and how you feel about buying vehicles. And in our poll question that we'll revisit again, we're going to ask the question, does the fear of, how important, actually, here it is. How important is the safety features when buying a vehicle? Very important, important, a little important, or not important at all. And we're going to have that up on our website for you to vote on. I still lean towards a small sports car, but it's going to have airbags absolutely surrounding the thing.
Yeah.
You get like that bubble wrap and just kind of put it all over the whole entire interior
right,
of the car.
Right.
Would you wear a crash helmet when driving a smart car?
No.
Crash helmet. There you go. No.
And yet.
I know.
And yet, on a motorcycle, as we're heading across the great state of Wisconsin and Minnesota.
I know.
Tons of hogs going by. With no helmet.
Kind of the guy that. I wear my
bicycle. They've thrown all caution to the wind.
I know.
Yeah.
They really have.
Well,
they've said.
In North Dakota, where I live, the same thing.
Yeah. It's an interesting.
Mm-hmm. And people would say, who's paying for their life support after
the accident? Yeah, exactly. The other question is, with helmet design, would you wear an open-faced helmet?
If I wore a helmet, it'd be fully enclosed.
Absolutely.
Fully enclosed. Yeah.
It would incorporate my shoulders.
Yeah, the whole face, the full face shield all the way down. Is that the kind you have, Jody?
No.
No. Anyways, move right along.
In fact, I'm very highly considering getting one that has the open ear style.
Yeah, the skull cap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I think there's a
sign. It's not
going to
have that big spike on
it. Oh, yeah,
top.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Hogan's Heroes.
We're gluing a spike on it with a ponytail, a fake ponytail.
It's a Wilhelm.
Yeah, it's going to have a fake ponytail coming out the top of it or the back of it.
Or a raccoon tail.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Davy Crockett.
Not a Harley hat. Okay, now come on.
That's what they are.
I just want to see Jody in hog pants.
Yep. Yeah. Close. He's got yellow ones.
Yeah. He's got the yellow ones.
Yellow
vinyl. Last week.
They'll take three cows to make me chaps, all right?
Oh, I'm chapped.
No, he said chaps. Not chafed or chapped. It doesn't take a whole lot to get chafed or chapped at our age.
No.
And he wonders why he pays extra.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Now it's time for the ProCPR.org Puzzler. What the heck would you do? ProCPR.org. Online training when you want it, where you want it.
All right, so you come across a victim who was thrown from a vehicle during an accident. You stop your car in a safe area, and the traffic is really pretty well controlled, and the victim is actually off the road in the median.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're not in danger. Your passengers are not in danger.
Okay.
So to speak. You're always in danger if you're on the scene of an accident. But, you know,
it's a safe
environment. Yeah, it's as safe as you're going to get it, and you want to help. You've been trained in CPR and first aid at a very, very basic lay level.
Mm-hmm.
What do we want to do, and what should we not do? DB?
I'm calling 911.
That's a good
immediately.
Hey, okay. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you assume that with all the people around there that someone else called 911?
Absolutely not.
Good. Good
Do
answer.
We presume it when the power goes out in our neighborhood that somebody else has called Consumers Energy?
I never presume that. I always call them.
So that's my philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. That's a good step.
Okay. It's not fair for me to answer that because I teach
let's
that
keep,
all the time.
Let's keep teasing.
I just had that question in class when I was teaching.
Well, it's a scary thing to come across, number one, okay, because it's panicville, and you probably, they might even be passengers that are injured or scared.
But
or,
we've determined safe scene.
Yep, scene is safe.
We've called 911.
Yep. And a lot of bystanders.
And you check on the individuals.
You got a lot of
condition there.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So you go over and there's only really one patient that you can see, and it's the ejected person who was not wearing their seatbelt in a convertible.
Mm-hmm. There they are.
They are on the ground, on their backs, laying, looking up at the sky.
Try to determine if they're conscious.
Okay. So we yell out to them, are you all right? Are you okay? They do not respond to us. So we approach the patient,
looking at the patient, we don't see any chemicals or any glass or anything that could poke us or electrocute us. No electricity, no explosives. The vehicle is in a safe distance away. And you walk up to them. Your gloves are on. Your CPR shield's available. And you shake them like you've never been shaken before.
No. No, you tap on their shoulder, try to determine consciousness. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're not conscious.
Nope.
Try to assess for pulse, airway, obstruction, and breathing.
Okay. So, good answers. We've assessed. They did not respond to our taps and shouts, because once you shout to them, if they don't respond, then we're going to tap on their collarbone or on their shoulder. We're out of the shake and shout. That was a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
Shaking and shouting is way old.
Yep.
And moving the neck is not a good idea if they have a suspected neck injury. And this person, because of the physical
trauma
that potentially happened, and this person could have no neck injury, right, Jody?
Right. They could have no, but we don't know.
We don't know that, so we assume that they do have a neck injury because of the what we call mechanism of injury.
Mm-hmm.
They were thrown from a vehicle. That's an automatic 911.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also an automatic priority one from mm-hmm. an ambulance side. So we're assuming that they're a critical patient from the time we're dispatched, and then we also sometimes may even take them in priority one,
mm-hmm.
lights and sirens to the hospital based on mechanism of injury. Sure. There could be things cooking that we didn't put on the stove, so we don't know.
So here's really the big question in this scenario.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to get Dan's perspective on this because he's the average Joe. So the big question is, what's more important? This guy, he's not moving,
mm-hmm.
doesn't appear to be breathing, but he's probably got some pretty significant injuries. Maybe it looks like he has broken arms, broken legs. We don't know what's going on spinal-wise, but mm-hmm. he doesn't appear to be breathing or moving. What are you going to do with that? What's more important here?
If he's not breathing, he's dying.
Okay.
And causing additional injuries by attempting CPR is far less injurious than letting him die.
Good answer, Dan.
He is not just an average man.
No,
he is the smart guy.
He's not average, Dan. He is pro CPR superhero. I
really hope my wife's listening.
You rock, Dan.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
She wonders.
You're absolutely right. It's airway before breathing, breathing before circulation, mm-hmm. unless you're a layperson and you can't provide rescue breathing. And here's a curveball mm-hmm. we should probably talk about.
Okay.
Now we have scientific studies that mm-hmm. are showing that if you do not feel that it's safe for yourself mm-hmm. or the patient to give rescue breaths, and it's outside of a hospital setting,
mm-hmm.
that it is advantageous for us to actually give cardiac compressions only.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of rescue breaths.
Not necessarily instead of, but just that's all there is to it. You call 911, you start compressions, and you do
mm-hmm. keep
fast, deep compressions until mm-hmm. help arrives from the ambulance, fire department, or so on.
Mm-hmm.
This is for a person, a victim who is unconscious, is apparently not breathing,
mm-hmm.
and does not show any signs of life.
Yep.
Pink, warm, dry, moving, making noises, so on and so forth. And Dan, you're absolutely right. This point, dead is about as bad as you can get when mm-hmm. it comes to physical,
right?
You know, problems.
Yeah.
Now, I guess the question I don't know
mm-hmm.
is if they're in a ditch and they're not on flat ground.
Okay,
do I move them to an area where chest compressions are most effective?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
goes back to what you said before. What's more important here? Okay, the guy is in a ditch, not moving, not breathing.
Right.
And you've got mud and water. Well, the only option at that point is you have to move him to provide care. Because otherwise, you can't provide care.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So
obviously, if
that's it,
he's quite a large person. I'm not able to move them.
Yep.
Do it where you can. But
you try to elicit help as much as you can.
Yeah.
You can ask for bystanders in the area to say, I know CPR and first aid. I can help. We need to pull this person to a better area so that I can provide CPR effectively.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to drag somebody when they have a suspected neck, back, or other limb injuries is to take the patient from the head. One person would just simply support the head with minimization of movement.
Right.
Is the key
as
phrase.
As the person's body is moving.
Correct. So they're just barely going to lift it up enough so that it doesn't catch on things on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to try to keep it straight, not side to side, lateral movement, not
chin to chest, and then occiput to back movement. Just try to keep it as neutral as possible. Two other people will then take the patient and grab usually belt or pants. Mm-hmm. And you can even just grab the shoulder, the top of the shoulder area of the shirt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, because if you grab underneath the armpit, now we're putting some clavicle pressure, okay? Which it, we may have to do that anyways. If
what's
the shirt
the
rips, the clavicle area up on top of the shoulder that joins the sternum
okay.
to the shoulder, right?
Got it.
That bony thing that you can feel,
yeah.
the collarbone.
Collarbone.
Collarbone I should have used. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you're going to grab that shirt, the belt area or the belt itself. No loops. Loops pop
mm-hmm. right? oh, okay.
easily. And then on the count of three, we all pull 6 inches or so mm-hmm. at the same time. Short movements, all orchestrated right. together right. so that we don't have a tug of war going on.
Right.
And we make as few of movements as possible until the patient is in an area where we can effectively give CPR.
Got it. Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Would we elevate the legs in this patient based on the fact that they are pale, unconscious, and showing signs of shock?
That wouldn't occur to me to do that.
Mm-hmm. It would be contraindicated.
Right, because of potential spinal injury.
Oh,
we don't okay. want to move him any more than we have
last
to.
Last thing I'm thinking about is his legs.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. So I mean, it's, less is more.
Any limbs.
Traumatic injuries, so. Less is more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So then we can cover them with a sheet coat or blanket to mm-hmm. maintain body temperature.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And if the patient starts breathing, if they start moving, if they regain consciousness, minimization of movement, mm-hmm. control of major bleeding with direct pressure, if possible, and then shock management, which is keeping yep. them warm. If they don't have a back injury, neck injury, or leg injuries, you yeah. can elevate the legs. If they have one broken leg and one non-broken leg, you could elevate the non-affected leg, the
Got
non-broken
it.
Leg. But if they have hip pain, pelvis pain, back pain, chest pain, neck pain, we leave them laying the way they are.
Okay. And the only way to determine that is they're conscious.
Absolutely.
They're telling us that.
Yep.
Right.
And this also relates to diving accidents, which we need to talk about because it's summertime.
Stairway accidents.
Stairway accidents, yep. swimming pool accidents, yep. bicycling accidents, yep. pedestrian versus vehicles.
Here's the big question from a lay person. Is I'm really... safe scene really occurs to me when I...
Yeah.
see an accident on the side of the road. And I see this on the news frequently. Police officer mm-hmm. killed, struck, trying to help somebody on the road.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
Safe scene means I am way safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's a relative term, sort of.
The question, you know, prior to having kind of engaged in the CPR industry, it really struck me that I'd get sued. I'm conscious of that all the time. So why I'm doing a podcast is beyond me. But, you know, hurting somebody, mm-hmm. I don't think people have a grasp of what the Good Samaritan law is.
Oh, no. And that
and its impact
yeah.
in protecting a bystander.
You're exactly right. You bring up two things. First of all, you're saying safety for the person at the scene. That's your number one priority as a first aid provider is your own personal safety. Do not put yourself in a place where you say, oh, I'll go out and stop traffic. I'll just wave my arms. It's not going to happen.
People aren't going to see it.
No. And the other thing that happens is I'll just park my vehicle here like a police officer would do up on the side of the road.
Yep. Guaranteed.
No.
And you're going to create more accidents.
Exactly.
More harm.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got to make sure as a first aid provider, your safety is number one. Don't put yourself in that. And the second issue you brought up was safety for yourself for liability-wise. You are protected under Good Samaritan laws if you act in good faith. And do the best you can in that situation to help out. Just don't go too deep. Like to say, you know, if there's somebody in a car and they're breathing, but they're maybe bleeding or something, you don't have to take them out of that car. Don't
no,
do that.
No.
That's going too far.
Yep.
Wait till the AMTs, paramedics get there. Let them do
right,
their job.
Right.
And also don't get your sewing kit out of your back pocket and start giving them stitches.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
those
he's bringing up some really great points. The way it's really designed is you don't go above and beyond your level of training.
Correct.
What you would be licensed to be able to do appropriately. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we could have a whole discussion on what that really means, but basically keep it basic.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you stay with basic airway, basic breathing, basic circulation, basic first aid, that's all Good Samaritan lay person stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a paramedic, and though I've been trained how to do
a tracheotomy, now is not the time to do it.
Right.
Because if I follow my training appropriately, I'll realize I can't do it sterile. I don't have the suction equipment, which is required to have. Mm-hmm. My local protocols dissuade me from doing any type of surgical, you know, tracheotomy. So there's all, you know, so people that are licensed and know better probably are at less risk than people that watch a lot of TV mm-hmm. and think that they can do a trach with a pen.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying? Some kind of wacky thing that they heard on a tabloid like show mm-hmm. and it's not the appropriate care. Less is more. The goal is to make them better, not worse, mm-hmm. And minimize movement after accessing 911. So, good stuff.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, too, travelers, this summer, reciprocity. Your state's Good Samaritan law follows you as a citizen of that state. Mm-hmm. So if we're traveling to Pennsylvania and we see a car accident in Ohio and we stop, and I practice basic first aid Good Samaritan behaviors as it's outlined in my state of Michigan rules, I'm covered under state of Michigan law.
Got it.
Okay? So that's for truckers, travelers. But
what states don't cover Good Samaritan laws?
Well, California, I think, is the latest one we should really talk about right now. All 50 states have adopted some form of the Good Samaritan law, and then it also includes AED.
But it's not a federal statute. These are state laws.
No, these are state by state.
Yeah. Right. Yep. So there may be nuances in...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, as I said, if you really feel comfortable with your own state's reciprocity, you know, your own state's Good Samaritan law, as long as you practice to that, then you are set.
Right.
And... other than the California thing that we had come up, where there was some obvious...
it was a judge. It was a judge's decision, not the law.
Yeah, because there were some obvious misbehaviors that were witnessed by other people at the scene of the accident, where minimization was not practiced.
But she wasn't a medical professional either.
No, but she was under the influence. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a lot of... Yeah, it's not your classic Good Samaritan issue.
And we
should really make comment about that. Because that spooked some people, and it should not. I still think that California probably still has a pretty decent Good Samaritan law when you're acting in good faith, doing the right thing for somebody. Right. So,
Samaritan laws never protected anybody that really exceeded that.
That went out of their way to hurt somebody.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's not what it does. Yeah.
So, I think we'll probably put a link up on the Good Samaritan law so that you can read a version of it and then check it out for your own state. But we'll put up our own Michigan's Good Samaritan law and you can take a look at what it looks like. Well, last week's poll question, we had a 50-50 split.
Yes, we did.
Uh-huh. The question was, do men over-exaggerate their illnesses? Yes, no, or maybe. We had 50% said yes, 50% said no.
There you go.
We never exaggerate ever.
Never over-exaggerate.
Yeah, we were talking about that too. Is
that a redundant statement?
Right.
Yeah, that's
over-exaggerating.
Flaming Inferno?
Yeah. Exactly. Maybe we're just emphasizing.
Tiny shrimp?
Oh. Well, anyways, and just a reminder, this week's poll question is, how important is the safety features when buying your dream vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
Very important, a little important, or not important at all?
We want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that wraps it up for this week. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
Be safe and have fun.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at irescueradio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.